We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are grateful to God for his goodness to us. And if it had not been for Jesus who was on our side, we would not be here today. And I am grateful for another Lord's Day and Lord's Supper Day. I want to move expeditiously, and I'll share with you in just a little while. But get your Bibles and stand with me, if you will. Turn to Luke chapter 24, verse 30 and 31. Luke chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. And it reads, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them." Verse 31 says, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to talk about a deeper connection with Christ. A deeper connection with Christ. What an interesting story we have before us. It is, of course, on the day of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Two men are walking down the Emmaus Road, recounting what has gone on over the last few days. And while walking and talking over the events of these several days, Jesus joins in with them. They didn't see where he came from. He just showed up. And as they're walking down the road, he's asking them, "What's going on?" And they say, "Are you just a stranger Do you not know what has happened and what's going on? And Jesus said, in essence, no, tell me about it. And so if you look, Luke shares the conversation that they had going down the Emmaus Road. And when they share with Jesus the events of the Good Friday situation, how the Jews gave up Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and how he who knew no sin, did no sin, was killed in their eyes, certainly unjustly. And he told them that on the third day that he, Jesus, would rise again, but it appeared that that was not fully true. But there were some who witnessed that he had risen, not so much that they had seen him, but he wasn't where they placed him. And Jesus challenges their faith and calls them foolish and says, after they say, and after all of that, this is the third day and he's supposed to be risen from the dead. The Bible says Jesus starts at the scripture where the prophets prophesied about him and began to explain all of those scriptures to them, opening them up, interpreting and bringing understanding to the fruitfulness of their understanding. It was getting dark, and so Jesus pretended that he was going to go on without them. But they asked him to join them for dinner. So we pick up at verse 30 here, where the Bible says, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them. Now, here is how this goes. Jesus takes the bread, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and he gives it to them. Now, he's communing with them. And in this communion, they recognize there was something familiar about the presentation of the breaking of the bread. But they weren't sure, because this man had a lot of similar features to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it couldn't have been Jesus, because they saw him crucified. They saw him die. They saw him taken down off the cross and put in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. They knew then that the one they knew was dead, but that was an uncanny similarity to the way he did this breaking of the bread. And the Bible says, when he gave it to them, verse 31 says, and their eyes were opened. And their eyes were open. Now, this word open comes from the Greek word dianeugo. Dianeugo. And this literally means to open not the eyes of the mind, but the eyes of the soul. This was a deeper revelation of knowledge that they had not ever experienced before. And when you understand, my brothers and sisters, if you desire to know the Lord better, that knowledge is going to come through, one, his word, and two, fellowship. See, you're going to have to spend some time with him. And they spent time with him, not fully knowing it was him, because the record is he held their eyes from recognizing him so that he could get out of them what they had in them, and then reveal to them
what he wanted to put into them in terms of their understanding. And so when he does this, he gives them a deeper revelation, thus a deeper connection than they've ever known before. And so now when the Bible says, and their eyes were open, not just the eyes of their mind, but a revelation so deep and passionate that they were excited about the revelation. My brothers and sisters, have you ever been excited about something you've been desiring to know, and then all of a sudden the revelation of that knowledge comes and the light goes off, it clicks, it makes sense, it comes together, and there is an excitement about the knowledge. It's like, I got it! When Jesus broke the bread with them that they were familiar with, he revealed to them that he was the Christ, which meant that he was risen and he was alive. Listen at me. And so now they're excited about this now, because now they desired a deeper connection, a deeper understanding, a deeper revelation, and they received all of that while he talked with them going down the road of Emmaus. But they wondered how he knew all he knew, and it didn't make sense, because the record is, in his days of teaching, when he taught those of the synagogue, they said, he speaketh as one having authority. Never have we heard one speak like this man. And all of this is playing back in their mind, and it makes sense, because now they realize it's Jesus. But now, listen at this now. Not only are their eyes open, but the record says, and they knew him. Now, listen at this now, because this is important. Their eyes were opened to a deeper level of understanding. See, you got some folk who know Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They've heard about Jesus, but they've never experienced Jesus. They heard grandma talk about him and mama talk about him. They heard the preacher about him and the deacons pray about him. They heard the choir sing about him, but they've never had a personal relationship with Jesus. So really all they do is know of him. Most of them know him in the Greek word genosko. Genosko, that means know. That's from John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They knew him in that sense. It's of the same sense of Genesis 4:1, when the Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, comes from the Hebrew word yada, yada. It's an intimate and personal knowledge. It's like when a husband and a wife get married, and in the first year, he gets to know her. Stay with me for a minute. But he really doesn't know her. It's not until years pass by that he really gets to know her. And so that comes from the Greek word epigenosko. Epigenosko. Let me give you an illustration of it. One day I was at my grandmother's house, and I've shared this with our members before, and we were having breakfast, and my grandmother was a great cook, and my grandfather was a big man, and he loved to eat, and I loved to eat, and my grandmother had been stirring all around the kitchen all morning long, and she was one of them cooks that got up and cooked dinner before breakfast. I got any old saints in the house know what I'm talking about. And so she got up like 4 something in the morning, 5, and put on the dinner, and the dinner was slowly cooking. But by the time breakfast came, she started making breakfast. And so Big Daddy was sitting down eating, and we were eating, and my grandmother was still stirring around. And she finally got her plate and sat down, and Big Daddy said, Mary, reach me another biscuit. It was on the stove. And she looked at him and said to him, "When I was standing up at the stove, why didn't you ask me for another biscuit?" And Big Daddy was steady eating. And to make matters worse, he asks her what we're having for dinner. And my grandmother said a few blessed words. And he said, "Mary, reach me another biscuit." She said, "Wait a minute, O'Neill, you don't know me." And I said to myself, after all of these years, she was saying, "You genosco me, but you don't epigenosco me. You don't really know me." Have I got a witness, somebody? So epigenosco means to really, really know, to have a deeper knowledge of the person or situation or subject. And so when the Bible says, "And they knew him," they remembered that they knew him before, but now they know him like they've never known him before. A deeper connection with the Lord changes your perspective. A deeper connection with the Lord changes how you talk, how you walk, how you act, how you interact. A deeper connection with the Lord makes things better. And my brothers and sisters, when these men found out, discovered that they had a deeper connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as the man of God talked with us?" As they're walking down the road, listen at this, "And opened," here's that word again, "unto us the scriptures." Listen, they knew him before as teacher, as master, as rabbi. But now they know him as master, as savior, as Christ, as Lord. The level of their knowledge of him now is so much greater than it has been ever before. You see, the more you get to know Jesus, the more you get to know who he is, what he can do, and what he desires to do. You begin to tap into his power. See, the people who really know him really know what he can do and know that there is no secret to what he can do. What he's done for others, yes, he can do the same for you. If you really get to know him, you begin to know that he is Lord, and everything that he desires comes to pass. They were out on the water. He was sleeping on a pillow. The winds became boisterous, agitated and aggravated the water until they became raging and started flooding out the boat. They ran to Jesus and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Jesus stands up, and when he stands up, he rebukes the wind and he speaks to the water. The water that was agitated and aggravated by the force of the wind. And when he spoke to the waters, it was as if the waters had been nurtured by Jesus Christ and laid down at the command of "Peace be still." And his disciples said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him?" They got a touch of his lordship. They didn't know that before. They had seen him talk about and talk to things on earth and other things of human origin, but they had never seen the animation of the wind and waters obey him. And the more they got to know him, the more they saw how great thou art. My brothers and sisters, don't fool yourself. A deeper connection is what every believer needs. You're walking around here with issues and problems and things going on in your life, and the Bible makes clear that all of the things he's done in the New Testament, he did them then and he can do them now. When you get to know him, you know that he is one who has a word, and that word is sure. It's a tried word. It's a true word. It's a trusted word. And if you learn to trust his word, he can do whatever he desires to do in your life. A deeper connection is what every believer needs. Paul says that I might know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. In other words, I want to epigenosco. I want to really get to know him deeper than I've ever known him before, because there's power in the name of Jesus. I wish I had a real church here today. I said there's power in the name of Jesus. And if demons tremble at the name of Jesus, it could be because they've got a deeper connection with him. They realize the power that's in that name. And my brothers and my sister, as I hurry to a close, let me say this to you, that you, R.W. Shambach said, if your problem is not bigger than the resurrection, you ain't got no problem. I wish I had a helper in the house. We need to stop running around here worrying about, crying about, worrying over these issues and problems. The Bible is clear. He loves you. We can cast our cares upon him because he careth for us. And all we've got to do is trust him. Believe in him and he'll make everything all right. That's not just verbiage. That's not just hearsay. That's a reality. And the word is filled with example after example of what God can do and what God will do for those who have a deeper connection. Everybody that got a healing and a deliverance and a blessing were those who were looking for something deeper than the surface. And I've got news for you. The day you decide to come and have more than just church, the day you desire to have Jesus come into your heart and say, Lord, use me, live in me, do in me what you desire, I want to know you better. The day you decide that your life won't be the same because Jesus is a part of your heart in a way he's never been before, then things will change for you. Give God praise and glory in the house. I just want somebody to know that it's all right now. See, it don't ever become all right until Jesus enters the situation, until he enters the picture, until he has a part to play. And a whole lot of folk don't understand that he is the answer to what's going on in your life, to whatever you need today, right here, right now. Just know that no matter what it looks like, what it feels like, Jesus will make everything all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. All right. It's all right now. Oh Lord, oh Lord. Oh, all right. How many witnesses know it's all right? Why don't you encourage somebody and tell them, no matter what you're going through, it's all right. Listen, when I started on my journey, I was a lone and lonesome soul. I didn't know who I was or where I wanted to go. There was an emptiness inside me that I could never seem to feel. There was a longing in my heart that the world just couldn't heal. Oh, but it's all right. It's all right. Listen, people used to tell me that I could do it on my own. But every time I tried it, I found myself alone. So I went to my neighbor. I said, neighbor, I need your help. He said, I'm sorry I can't help you because I'm looking for help myself. Oh, but it's all right. It's all right. All right. Knocking, a knocking on my door. When my heart I opened, I said I knew it was the Lord. Listen, told me that he loved me and he gave me peace within. Forgave me of my transgressions, and he cleansed my heart from sin. And now it's all right. It's all right. Yes, it is. I don't care what you're going through. It's all right. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yeah. The doors of the church are open. Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, a deeper connection with Christ is what you need. There's a longing underneath your skin. And you've tried some of this and some of that. You've done some of this and you've done some of that. You've been here and you've been there. But I want to tell you, Jesus is the answer. I want to tell you what you're looking for is in Jesus. And he is calling you today right where you are. Right where you are. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that are laid, that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not like the world. I'll give you peace. Not like the world. But if you come to Jesus, He'll take your life, your broken